The 10th Conference on the Holy Spirit, God's Plan for the Human Race. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, we're able to discern God's overall plan for the human race and how each of us fits into that plan and what we are called to do to assist God in carrying out this plan. We could believe that God, by His almighty power, could have fulfilled this plan without any help from us. But in order to give us a human dignity, we have been made co-creators with God to bring about the fulfillment of God's plan. In the Gospels, Jesus speaks of this plan of God for the human race as the kingdom of God. I would like to use another image to describe God's plan. God's plan is to expand the family circle of heaven. We can think of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity living alone in heaven, having perfect happiness, perfect joy, perfect fulfillment and completion. That it was possible for them to have gone on for all eternity without us. But I can imagine that the Holy Spirit perhaps made the suggestion that all of this happiness we should share with others. We should expand the family circle of heaven to include countless billions of others, so that this happiness is not just shared by us selfishly alone, but is shared by many, many others. I can imagine perhaps Jesus saying, well, we have the power. We are infinite. We are able to do it. So let's do it. So the first step in expanding the family circle of heaven was a free decision on the part of God to create us, to create human beings with an immortal soul that will live forever, and with the ability to love, because the whole family life in heaven is a life of love, and no one can be at home in heaven unless they are able to love. And so this decision was made by God to create us in order to expand the family circle of heaven. God did not have to do that. It was a free decision. It was a decision made out of pure, unselfish love. The second step in the carrying out of this decision of God to expand the family circle of heaven was to create the physical universe, a place where intelligent beings would be able to exist and to work out their salvation, to accomplish this ability to practice agapic love so that they can be a part of the family circle of heaven. And so this second step in God's plan, we believe that it occurred approximately 15 billion years ago in what has become popularly called the Big Bang. Now, what existed before that, we do not know at all. Perhaps something did exist, perhaps not. Certainly God existed. God as always was and always will be. God had no beginning. But as far as the physical universe, and if this is the only physical universe, these are mysteries that perhaps will be revealed to us when we die and meet our Lord. But the second step to expand the family circle of heaven resulted in the creation of this physical universe. Now we know that this physical universe extends out for countless light years in what we call the different galaxies. They claim there are at least 45 billion, I think it is, or million galaxies. And every galaxy has perhaps a billion stars. We only know very much about our own galaxy, the Milky Way. It is a medium-sized galaxy, and we who are here in the solar system have a medium-sized star, our sun. Whether there is intelligent life out there in other places in these many galaxies is something at the present time we do not know. My own guess is that there is probably intelligent life in millions or billions of other places. God is very generous. And when that decision to expand the family circle of heaven, that definitely could have included countless billions of intelligent beings. We do not know about that, so we simply leave that in God's hands, and we look at what we do know about life here on earth. And so we come to the third step in the carrying out of God's decision to expand the family circle of love in heaven, and that is the creation of the earth, which took place a couple of billion years ago. We know that the earth is a planet that circles the sun, and that this earth was first of all very hot, and then over billions of years it gradually cooled, and then several billion years ago there was the beginning of life. Scientists tell us that this life probably began in the warm water along the tropics, and that this life has gradually developed more and more complex so that we have this variety of life today. We believe that all of this creation of life here on earth was leading up to the creation of human life, which took place about a million years ago. And so that takes us to the fourth step, the creation of human beings. Science is of the opinion that human life gradually developed, evolved in a number of different places, perhaps first of all in Africa, and then in Asia, and then in other places. We are still trying to discern the origins of human life. But that this human life, which began hundreds of thousands of years ago, has gradually developed so that it is capable of making free acts of agapic love. In other words, human life has reached that point where it is capable now of being a part of the family circle of heaven. However, the creation of human life some hundreds of thousands of years ago, with this freedom, this ability to love, was only another step in God's overall plan. The fifth step in God's plan to expand the family circle of heaven took place approximately 2,000 years ago in a little cottage in Nazareth, when God sent the angel Gabriel to ask the Blessed Mary if she would be willing to contribute her parts of her body to form a human body for God. The incarnation, taking on human flesh on the part of God. In other words, if we on earth are to participate in this family circle of heaven, God decided himself to come down to earth and to become a human being, to take on a human nature in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, in order to give us a model, an example of exactly what we need to do in order to be a part of this family circle of heaven. That it was more than just sending a message to us that God actually took on human flesh 2,000 years ago. So that when we look at Jesus Christ, this is how God acts as a human being. This is how God wants us to act in order to be a part of the family circle of heaven. What about the people who know nothing about Jesus? Perhaps as many as 4.5 billion people in the world today have no knowledge of Jesus Christ. We believe that God loves them also, and that through perhaps baptism of desire, that they can become a part of this family circle of heaven. But it behooves those of us who believe in the Incarnation to do all we can to spread the knowledge of Jesus Christ to the whole world. And so we need, first of all, to study the life of Jesus as it is described for us in the Gospels. And then we need to try to live a similar life to the life that Jesus lived. And by our example, by our words of encouragement, we will be able gradually to show the whole world what is required in order to be a part of this family circle of heaven. So that is all a part of this fifth step of the Incarnation, which began 2,000 years ago, but is far from finished. That it would seem that there are countless billions and trillions of acts of agapic love are necessary on the part of the human race before we have completed the family circle of heaven. And so we come to the sixth step. This is the step that Jesus established at the Lord's Supper the night before he died. It's the step of the Eucharist, which is very similar to what happened in the cottage of Nazareth. There, God reached out and took a piece of the body of Mary and created the human body of Jesus. In the Eucharist, God first of all reaches out and incorporates the bread and wine into his sacred body, so that we believe that in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. But God is not really primarily concerned about bread and wine. He simply chose that particular method to get to us. And so the seventh step, we might think of this as Holy Communion, as when we partake of the consecrated bread and wine into ourselves, and there something very interesting happens. The lesser is incorporated into the greater. Even though Holy Communion might be just a small little wafer and a sip of the consecrated wine, we believe because the real presence of Jesus is in that sacrament, we believe that it has the power to incorporate us into the human body of Christ, what we call the mystical body of Christ. So in Holy Communion, Jesus Christ, the real presence of the body of Christ, incorporates us into his mystical body. However, God will never force us to be a part of the body of Christ. God always leaves us free. You cannot be a part of the family circle of heaven unless you have freedom. We need this gift of freedom to enable us to love. Because pure agapic love always implies that we are free not to love. Love is something you cannot force on another person. You can invite it, but it has to be a free decision on the part of that person. And so when we go to Holy Communion, Jesus incorporates only that part of our life that we choose freely to give over to him. Therefore, if we go to Holy Communion with our hearts closed to love, And that means not only love of God, but love of neighbor and a proper love of self. In other words, if we go to Holy Communion lacking in love in any of the three areas, love of God, love of neighbor, and love of self, we are wasting our time. Nothing happens. God respects our freedom. God will not force us into the mystical body of Christ. And that is why Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that if you are bringing your gift to the altar to offer to the Lord, and you remember that your fellow human being has something against you, go first, he says, and be reconciled to your neighbor, and only then come and offer your gift at the altar. In other words, we cannot practice true, unselfish, agapic love of God unless we also are practicing true, agapic love of neighbor, love of every neighbor, of every person in the whole universe. And of course, likewise, a proper love of self. There are many degrees to our power to love. It seems to me that God loves us so much, that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit love us so much, that if we sincerely try to love God, love our neighbor, and love ourselves in the right way, even a tiny bit, you might say if we just open a tiny crack of our heart to God in Holy Communion, that God's love for us is so great that he might say will worm his way into our heart and incorporate our life into the life of God, into the life of Jesus. Jesus will only do this if we are willing, if we freely choose to give this gift. So whatever part of our life that we're willing to give, Jesus in Holy Communion takes that part and incorporates this into his human mystical body. The ideal, of course, would be to go to Holy Communion with our hearts wide open in love, to make a total, complete gift of our whole life to God and to the doing of God's will. And if so, then you might say one Holy Communion is sufficient to make a saint out of us, that God will take whatever gift of love, remember that has to be love of neighbor and love of self as well as love of God, and incorporate that. If we give everything, then God takes everything. There is still an eighth step to this expansion of the family circle of heaven, and that is what we do after Holy Communion. We can think of Holy Communion as not the final step of this plan of God to expand the family circle, but as the particular step that God has chosen to give us all of the help and the grace and the strength that we need to go out and to practice total unselfish love for God, for every human being on the face of the earth, and a proper love of self. In other words, through Holy Communion, we are given the divine energy to practice agapic love in our life. Now, this divine energy comes to us not only through the Eucharist, comes to us through all the other sacraments, and we can believe that God, in his love for the whole human race, has perhaps a million other ways of bestowing this energy upon the people on the face of the earth, including those billions of people that have never heard of Jesus Christ. But let us just concentrate our attention on our faith as Christians, about what is expected of us once we have received the sacred body and blood of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. We now have the power, we now have the ability to practice divine love, to practice agapic love, to practice the same kind of love that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have for each other, to practice the same kind of love that God has for us. Being given, then, the power to love in a divine way, to love in the same way that God loves, it behooves us to use this gift of love that comes to us in the Eucharist as well as in other ways. And then in the course of the week, to practice as many acts of unselfish, agapic love as we possibly can. And we need to realize the power that is given to us through this gift of grace that comes to us in the sacraments, that this enables us to create new energy that has never existed before. This is the power of love, that when we practice love, when God practices love, He creates new energy. We call it grace. When we practice unselfish love, when we use this gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift of Holy Communion, this gift of Jesus Christ, that we now have the power to create new psychic energy, new spiritual energy. We call it sanctifying grace. And that energy that we create through our acts of agapic love is an energy that is needed to bring about the final fulfillment of God's plan of expanding the family circle of heaven. Only God knows how many countless billions of acts of love that will be required before His plan to expand the family circle of heaven is complete. But it is encouraging to realize that every time we carry out even the simplest act of love here on earth, we are taking the human race another tiny step toward the fulfillment of God's plan for the human race. We are taking the human race another tiny step towards the accomplishment of that kingdom of God that Jesus Christ talks about so often during His public life. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, you and I are capable of doing something divine. By this gift of grace, which comes to us from the Holy Spirit, you and I create something that is eternal, something that will still be here on earth carrying out its purpose of love thousands of years after you and I are dead and gone. Having been given this tremendous dignity and power of being a co-creator with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in bringing about the fulfillment of God's plan to expand the family circle of heaven, we now realize how important it is to have a very deep, intense love of the Holy Spirit. That we need to use all of these various methods that have been suggested in these conferences to be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To be open both to those general gifts and to those special gifts. And most of all, to be open to the gift of agapic love, this total giving of ourselves, this unconditional love, both to God and to others. And through that power, we are taking the human race another tiny step towards the accomplishment of the kingdom of God, towards the fulfillment of God's plan to expand the family circle of heaven. We are making a contribution to this overall plan of God, even in the simplest ways. Mother Teresa of Calcutta was visited by a group of doctors from this country, and they were inspired by the wonderful work of charity that Mother Teresa was doing. And they said, "Mother, tell us something that we can do when we go back home to carry out a similar love the way you are? She said, very simply, smile. In other words, even when we are friendly to the checkout counter girl, even when we smile and are friendly to a person that we meet on the street, even when we smile and pray for the driver that cuts in front of us on the highway, even in those simplest little acts of love, we are making a contribution to the expansion of the family circle of heaven, to the fulfillment of the kingdom of God upon earth, to the carrying out of God's plans in our regard. Realizing this, every one of us should take the resolution that we will leave no stone unturned every day of our life, every hour of the day, every moment of the day, to practice love. To go out in love to God, to go out in love to every person that we meet, and to have the proper love of self. Each morning, as a part of our morning prayer, we should take time to discern, how can I love everyone I meet today? How can I practice agapic love for others better than I have practiced in the past? What can I do today to show a real, sincere love for every person that I meet? Knowing that even when I pray for someone, when I call down God's blessing upon them, that is contributing to God's overall plan. It's taking the human race another tiny step towards the fulfillment of the kingdom of God and the expansion of the family circle of heaven. This is the end of the 10th conference on expanding the family circle of heaven.